So how did this production start? Where did you guys even begin?
Actually, the pound started, believe it or not, I know it sounds hokey, but it started with a dream. My buddy Charles Pritchett, who's also the co-creator of the book, he's been my letterer for a decade now. And I just had this stupid-ass dream. He and I were dog catchers, and we were in a school, and we ended up catching a werewolf, but we had to throw a garbage can on top of one of those big, you know, plastic ones you see in the schools. And Charles had to sit on top of it to hold it down, and the whole thing was just shuttling around the ground. I woke up laughing from that, immediately wrote it down, told Charles and Carl about it, and within a couple of days, we were designing the characters and writing the script.
Okay, what influences you guys as far as, like, first of all, I think we'll discuss the writing. I mean, it has a very, like, 80s, early 90s kind of, like, sitcom feel to it at times. And then, like I mentioned in my review, that whole Abbott and Costello thing going on. So what really influences you?
Well, actually, the Abbott and Costello was dead on. I mean, you know, I wanted something that was going to be, you know, a mix between Abbott and Costello and, you know, Peter Venkman from Ghostbusters. You know, I wanted guys that were completely capable of doing, you know, a job, but in way over their head. You know, so by, you know, any means possible, they'll finish the job, but they probably should not be doing this job. Okay.
My original take on it was any two guys you would see in your average beer commercial. You know, that was my take on it. And Stefan, like, you know, wanted it to be a lot funnier. I would have had both guys be a lot stupider. So I think Stefan won out on that and he did a good job.
Okay, as far as the look of, you know, Scott Allison and, you know, Howard Lynch, I mean, I think it's Scott, I believe. He looks like Harley Race meets Triple H, you know, from the WWE. How'd you get those mutton chops? What was the idea behind that? It's great.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Motorhead. And
Lemmy. There we go.
Yeah, and that design was a Lemmy. I told Carl I wanted Scotty. You know, Scotty's the, you know, the tough, barrel-chested, but, you know, veteran. And I wanted him to have that Lemmy mutton chop look. And Carl gave some designs for both Scotty and Howie, and they were just awesome. I mean, I don't think he gave more than one or two tops when we hit it. All right?
Yeah, mainly, and, you know, Stefan kind of dictated how he wanted Scotty to look. And so my take on Howie kind of became kind of Gilligan and Shaggy. You know, I wanted that dude that while Scotty was being the straight man, you know, I had Gilligan / Shaggy doing all this visual comedy where every time he'd react, you could see exactly what's going on in him, and he's just a goofball. So that's kind of how that came about.
See, at the same time, in spite of, like, you know, the Abbott and Costello and things like that, I mean, Scott is, like, a really good husband, and there's a few very mushy scenes in the first issue where you're just, like, kind of setting the scene of him as a family man. What was the, you know, thinking behind that?
A lot of that dialogue is actual dialogue between me and my wife. That's how we talk. And, I mean, it was funny, when she read the book, she was like, "This is us." I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "You have a problem with that?" She's like, "No, it's okay." So, but yeah, I mean, things like, you know, goofing around with the whole. In fact, I recently became an unemployed state employee, or an ex-state employee, we'll say. I got laid off a couple months ago. That's just kind of weird how this is all starting to, you know, shadow the book. So, but yeah, a lot of that conversation comes from conversations that, you know, similar to what me and my wife have.
Okay,
it makes it easy to write that.
I came across the series via the iPad. I saw, you know, I downloaded the IDW comic book app, and I saw the first issue, and it looked incredibly cool, so I picked it up. Are you guys finished with the run? And if so, like, are there any plans to extend it?
Yeah, the run is finished. The first five issues, or first story arc, however you want to call it. They're on the IDW app, but it's actually out in print now as a graphic novel. It came out this Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and actually probably going to be sold out by today or tomorrow. We found out last night from IDW that there's only 100 copies left. So it's selling very well. We're happy to hear. So with that, yeah, we're continuing the story for sure.
Okay, so how does that make you guys feel, considering the fact that, you know, superhero tales are kind of always the hot seller, and you guys came along with this oddity from a dream, nonetheless, you know, to really, like, you got your own niche now. How does that feel?
Well, as soon as I know this conversation, I'm calling my doctor about this erection I've had for 12 hours.
Yeah, and if it's over 4 hours, you're supposed to call it. So, you know, you've been working on it.
It feels great. I mean, especially since this is the, you know, the DC revamp month that our graphic novel has been able to sell this well, you know, amidst the, you know, like you said, all the capes and costumes. So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't be happier.
Artistically, this stuff is a lot more fun for me to draw than a dude in a cape stopping a train with his pinky. The superhero stuff just doesn't excite me. But believe it or not, going back to a question you asked a minute ago, it's more interesting for me to draw the personal interactions between the characters than some of the action sequences. Because it's a much greater challenge to have a man and his wife having a really intimate conversation and show that they really love each other physically. You know, it's just a lot more fun.
Okay, so what do you think the future holds for the series?
Oh, well,
depends on what Stefan comes up with, man.
Yeah, we've got, well, the next series, the main story arc is Dr. Frankenstein's return. And I don't want to give too much away with that, but he basically shows, you see why he's running the pack, not anybody else. He's the most deadly of all of them. And we introduce a new ally for the guys, who's actually introduced at the end of the book, Gil. he basically, they find out he's not the creature of the Black Lagoon. He's the last Atlantean, and he's just this curmudgeoned old man who wants kids off his lawn. That's why he's fucking with everybody in the park, or messing with everybody in the park. Yeah. So he becomes, you know, basically an ally the guys can't get rid of. So, yeah, you know, he basically decides to make their life as much hell as they made his.
Sounds very Scooby-Doo-esque in a way.
Yeah, I think I'd say more of the Abbott Costello. We're going to try that, you know, with the Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to do, because everything's real. I mean, you know, as real as monsters get. I mean, there's going to be no, you know, Mr. Jenkins.
Yeah, and people die and some horrible things happen. But the real challenge on that is to do some really funny comedy,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the middle of all that craziness going on.
Okay, so how do you guys collaborate? How does the book, you know, kind of take shape? What's the process like?
I write a script and I give Carl money. He dropped out.
Stefan has a bullwhip.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth collaboration on this, which is nice. Case example is the Pirate Pig Ale that's in the first book. Yeah, because I wanted the guys to be drinking a beer that's not a real beer, you know, until now. But we came up with the idea of this Pirate Pig Ale. So just as a small little thing of how we go back and forth, but, you know, with designs, and Carl actually came up with a lot of, you know, page redesigns on the script. Like, hey, how about, you know, I did this in an angle, I'd like to add another panel here. And I'd say 9 out of 10 times it goes, because it helps the storytelling.
Yeah, I don't haul off and just change stuff, but if I have a really cool old idea, I'll call Steph up and say, hey, what about this? And we work so well together, he usually goes, hey, that's really funny, yeah, do it. So, all right, that works.
Okay, are there any plans to kind of, you know, put together some spin-offs or anything like that if the second book really takes off?
I don't think of a spin-off or anything. There's no really other characters just outside these two that, you know, I really want to tell a story around. I mean, obviously they got the families and, you know, Howie's fiance, but I don't think there'll be an extension to it now. Like, there won't be a BDRP for the pound or anything.
Yeah. there's a lot to explore with just these two characters and what's going on with them that we weren't able to touch on that would be a lot of fun.
Okay, how important do you feel was the first issue getting on the iPad, on that app? Have you got a lot of positive feedback from that?
Yeah, the the only thing I wish we could tell is the actual numbers of downloads, because we know it got a lot of response, but they didn't track, they don't track the free downloads, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think it was a really good, you know, lack of better terms, advertising tool. I mean, it was a lot of, it got into a lot of people's hands. You know, they'll download stuff for free, which is great. That's what we wanted. And I like the fact of digital comics, because my closest comic book store is 45 minutes away, and there's books I want to read that by the time I actually get to the store, they're sold out, or they didn't order and it's too late. So I'm a big fan of digital comics, and I wanted to do something original there.
The wonderful thing about the internet is, well, it cuts both ways, but you can screw up and be a screw up worldwide in 30 seconds, or you can do something really cool and get known worldwide in 30 seconds. I mean, that is an amazing ability to go straight to whoever's going to buy your stuff. Well, it's really neat.
Okay, I'm going to give both of you guys a hypothetical. Let's just say, you know, there's a comic book fan that's never heard of The Pound, and they come across it, and they see the nifty, you know, the nifty cover, and they're kind of like, why should I get into this? How would you guys sell this comic to them?
Well, I would beat them. assault is always the best, most direct method of getting readership. What about you?
Well, I know that there is a check for $1 million hidden in one of the books. But, no, honestly, I would, you know, just quickly give them a rundown, ask them, like, do you like Ghostbusters, like Shaun of the Dead? Do you like comedy horror? If you do, you know, try this book out. I'm biased in my opinion, obviously, but I think it's a great read, and, you know, everyone should give it a shot.